Hey, happy Father's Day, guys. I'm here out in my backyard with some of my closest friends, getting ready to throw some steaks on the smoker. While that's in there, I thought it'd be a good idea to give us just a bit of a recap on what we've learned so far about Galatians. We're finishing up chapter 3 today, but in those first three chapters, what we see is Paul defending the gospel, right? He's defending the gospel that Jesus gave to him personally. And this is what we know, that this gospel came straight from Jesus. And then he went and he told the apostles this gospel that Jesus shared with him, and they thought it was good enough, that they didn't need to add anything to it. And as we learned last week, right, the law was given to us to show us that we weren't perfect. And it doesn't produce life, but Jesus produces life. And so we're seeing Paul lay out this groundwork of an argument, because this church in Galatia was very close to Paul's heart, right? Early in his missionary journeys, he founded a series of churches in this Galatia province. And what happened was some religious strong-arming took place after Paul left, that these old ways of thinking people came in and said, yeah, that's good, but you got to go back to the old ways. And so when Paul found out about this, he was really upset. He was upset that these religious kind of stakeholders had come in and said, with these kind of scaring words, that you've got to add these things back in. You've got to put these things back in place if you want to have life, if you want to be in the family. And so Paul is super frustrated with that. And not only is he frustrated with these people who are adding to the gospel, he's frustrated with the Galatians for believing it, that they had taken this newfound freedom that Jesus had produced in them and kind of just thrown it away by adding more stuff back into their life. More burdens, less freedom. And so as today, as we're going to see in the reading coming up from chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, that not only did the law not produce life, it was Jesus, but now because of Jesus, we're in the family of God. And so why don't you lean in and say hello to my sister, Andrea, as she reads scripture for us today from Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians 3, 26 through 29. You have all become true children of God by faith in Jesus, the Anointed One. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus, the Anointed One, and now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us. And since you've been united to Jesus, the Messiah, you are now Abraham's child and inherit all the promises of the kingdom realm.
Thanks, Andrea. My sister Andrea just finished a virtual marathon. It was running across the state of Tennessee, which is about 1,021 kilometers. She ran every day for 103 days, average about 10 kilometers a day. That's like running from here at Good Life, all the way to the Sydney Harbor Bridge, and then 20 more kilometers. It's a pretty amazing sporting feat, and I'm pretty proud of her. I love sports, right? I come from a family of runners, and when I was in high school, I played all kinds of sports. I'm your typical American kid, right? I love football. I played basketball, but I loved baseball, right? And every spring in America, we would have baseball tryouts, and I've been playing baseball my entire life. And so when I was in high school, I was really excited about playing baseball. And I remember you go to the tryouts, and you've got 3 days of hitting and catching and throwing and practicing running the bases, and all of the coaches kind of, you know, standing on the sidelines running drills and evaluating your talent, evaluating your effort, seeing if you had what it takes to make the team. And I remember after 3 days of these tryouts being told that you could go to the baseball dugout and you could look on a piece of paper and you could see if your name was there. And I remember, right, the anxiety, the feeling of, you know, am I going to make the team, right? And it was so, in high school in America, sports are huge, right? Everybody knows who plays on the team, right? Every game day, you've got the cheerleaders wearing the school uniform outfits. You've got the players from the team wearing their jerseys. Even the team managers are sporting some kind of school identifier that they're on the team. And everyone is excited to play the game. But there still was this delineation between those who were on the field playing and those who were in the stadium cheering. And I remember going to the dugout after the 3 days of tryouts, searching for my name, right? Three different pieces of paper. And I remember 1 year finding my name, right? I had made the junior varsity team, right? The relief of finding my name on that piece of paper after worrying, would I measure up? But then I remember the following year, you know, going to tryouts and just 2 days into the tryouts, having the coach come to me and say, Ryan, meet me in my office. And him taking me into his office and setting me down and saying, Ryan, I don't think that you need to come to day three of the tryouts. I don't think it's gonna do you any good. You're just not good enough. And I remember, you know, how I felt about not making the team, right? Not measuring up. And I think that for us, we've probably had some situation where we've felt that rejection before, of not measuring up, of not making the grade, of not being talented enough or whatever to make the team. And I think the Galatians probably felt some of this, right? Like there was this excitement and relief of hearing the gospel that I can be in the family of God, that I can be a part of this team. But then these other, you know, religious old guard coming in and saying, no, you've got to add more to it. There's more you need to do. And I can, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I can imagine falling prey to that trap, wanting to make sure that I was on the team, wanting to make sure that I had done everything I could for when the bell finally rang, am I going to be on the team or not? And this is why Paul was so, so frustrated. I love how the verse that Andrea read is just so, so good. It says, we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through the union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us. Paul makes this very clear, right? Because of Jesus, you're on the team. Because of faith, now we have been invited into this family of God. That now, positionally, we find ourselves on the inside, not the outside. It's through faith in Jesus. It's fidelity to his faithfulness. It's the assurance of what he's done for us, not our talent. It's not like sports, which is a meritocracy. You get in on your effort. You get in on your talent. You get in on your achievement. No, it's we get in because Jesus was good enough that he fulfilled these things for us. And because we're now in, because we're in this family of grace, this community of grace, we can now live out of who God says we are. There's no more distinction between us. These things, these barriers that the old religious guard wanted to bring in for this church in Galatia, these old ways of living and thinking, right, have been abolished. There's no more distinction. There's no Jew, there's no non-Jew. There's no male, there's no female. There's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no slave, there's no free, right? No longer do we view anybody through those old distinctions. We're in the family. And because of that, we can live out of who God says we are. I want to take just a few moments to reflect on the truth of this scripture. And we're going to go into a song called Overcome, because it's Jesus that has overcome this for us, right? He's the one that brings us in. It's because of who he is and what he's done. And I love how the song is written. It says, grace has been given to us. Death has now become life. And this life that Jesus has given us now can be lived through us, and we can be in this community of grace. That grace Tim talked about it a few weeks ago. It's the anchor that holds us in this family. It's the thing that protects us as we move forward. And I hope that you'll take time to just listen to this song and to even engage with this song. And I'll be back after the song's over. And I've got a reminder and an opportunity for you as we learn really to live in the truth of this verse of having no distinctions between us. So let's go ahead and get into this song right now.
From the heavens, Lord, you came to forgive and not to shame. You came to love, not to condemn, but to overcome. And I am overwhelmed.
And I am overwhelmed, you
From the heavens, Lord, you came to forgive and not to shame. You came to love, not to condemn, but to overcome. And I am overwhelmed that you have overcome. And I am overwhelmed.
Thanks for that, guys. It's so good to be together and to reflect on those things. I think it's good for us to remember, as a grace-filled community, as a family, that grace is that identifier instead of the distinctives of the past, that we remember that in this space that we let God handle our sin, right? This is a really good reminder for us, because as we move through our walking around, our everyday kind of working life, our parenting life, our marriage life, our dating life, whatever it is we find ourselves in, it's really important for us to remember that as a grace-filled community, we let God handle our sin. We're not the ones that make things better. We're not the ones that add to it. Daniel was so good to remind us last week that the law never brought life. It was this thing that was a mirror that was put up to show us where we were missing it. But Jesus now has come to show us that we are a part of his family and that he can take care of our sin. So we bring our sin to Jesus. And the opportunity for us in that, right, is from that position, is to know that in a grace-filled family, or in a grace-filled community, that we anticipate and expect imperfection in others and ourselves. Like, just think about that for a minute, right? As a grace-filled community, what would it look like for us to anticipate and expect others to not get it right and to be okay with that? To not judge them, to not berate them, to not expect perfection from them when we're unable to provide perfection ourselves. That Jesus brings the perfection, and he brings us into his family, and he says, you belong, you're welcome, that I'll take care of your sin. I'll walk with you through your brokenness. And this family that now is in this holy hug together, they'll walk with you as well. They'll be with you, and they won't expect you to be perfect, but instead they'll be grace-filled. Man, I know that this last week, or even 2 weeks, I could give you several different examples of when I have not expected or anticipated imperfection in myself or others, but I have in fact done the opposite. And each and every time, grace has been extended to me. And I see that and I think, oh, I've got so far to go. But I also see that I'm a part of a family. I'm a part of a grace-filled community that says, Ryan, I'm with you. And I hope that you know the same. I hope that you know that we want to be that family with you. So I hope that you'll continue on this journey with us. I'm going to head over here to the steaks, and we're going to see how they're going. We're going to put them on the grill here and reverse sear them. But I want you guys to know that I'm so excited about what God's doing in us and through us, that it's a great opportunity, like Daniel said last week, to open our hearts, to open our homes in this time of uncertainty and invite people in to eat with you, to watch the church service with you, to be together, because we are better together. Let's check on these steaks. Thanks for joining us today on Father's Day. We've had a great day. Some of the kids have been with us doing the hosting, and that's been awesome to have them with us today. I hope the dads know they're loved and valued, and we really look forward to being together again. But until then, enjoy your fathers, enjoy Father's Day, and enjoy being in a grace-filled community. Let us know if you want to host a small gathering. You guys are awesome. We'll see you later.